We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
And welcome in, everybody, as Kabali downs a sandwich because he's starving. He hasn't eaten all morning long. You are officially locked in to Kabali and Mac. What is that background, Mr. Backdrops? What do you got there? The camera, because it's crooked this morning.
Is it mine or yours?
No, I was a little off. I was a little off center there. Had to straighten her out. Welcome in to Kabali and Mac, presented by our title sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are your people to do it, and to do it the right way and get you the best possible deal. Like I said, whether you're buying or selling, as Kabali takes another massive bite of what I believe is just a plain old cheese sandwich, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. teamhomes.com. Again, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the whole gang, the best you could possibly find. Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all of them fantastic. They will help you find the home that you're looking for if you're looking to move, or better yet, help you sell the home that you're looking to get out of, or best yet, do both of those things. We appreciate them being the title sponsors of Kabali and Mac. There's a lot to talk about. I know Kabali was very concerned as to whether Sidney Crosby would be on the ice or not this morning in Montreal. He is. So maybe he plays Wednesday night for Canada in what I, again, know Kabali is very excited for, the Four Nations face-off. Almost as excited as he is for that cheese sandwich. It's stupid.
I just walked in the door a minute ago.
Okay, buddy.
They're making me unprofessional to drink a Coke Zero and a sandwich while I'm on the air here.
No, you're totally good. No, that's totally good.
That's my name.
In all seriousness, we do have a whole load of stuff to talk about, not least of which is Super Bowl 49 was 59. Jeez, I've lost track how many Super Bowls there are now. 59 was last night. Eagles absolutely stomped a mud hole in the Chiefs. What did we learn about it? What did we hate about it? What did we love about it? I already know several things that Kabali hated about it. He knows at least one thing that I absolutely could not stand about last night's game. But I'm sure there were things we liked, too. And most importantly, we got to get into the Steelers quarterback situation, because the complexion of that thing, I don't think it's changed at all. I think it's really just starting to finally crystallize in people's minds. Kind of what my guy Kaboom here has been saying for the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, really, the last month. And we'll get into that as well. Thanks also to Southwest Greens. Look, how much money you think the average person, Kabali, spends on watering their lawn? Probably a couple $100 in the middle of the summer, right?
Especially me. Last year, I had my lawn put in. Mm-hmm. I had to water it all summer. It was crazy, Bill, man. Crazy.
Every single day. My neighbor treats his backyard like it's Augusta freaking National. He told me at one point he had like a $400 or $500 water bill 1 month last summer. Imagine doing that multiple months, obviously, in the summer, and having to spend all the money you spend on taking care of the lawn. Don't just stop. Go to southwestgreenspa.com, and they can give you an artificial grass surface that looks and feels better than the real stuff. And guess what? Guess how much you'll spend on watering it, Kaboom? Bupkis.
Nothing.
Bupkis is the official term.
Zero. You don't have to mow it.
You don't have to water it. You just enjoy it, which is what a lawn is for. And hell, you could even get a Jack Nicklaus designed a putting green in your backyard at the same time if you wanted to. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and he will make sure you've got the best looking lawn in the neighborhood. And again, you won't have to spend any of the time on it that your next door neighbor is spending hours every week mowing and watering hundreds and hundreds of dollars every single summer, thousands of dollars in some cases. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Thanks to them for jumping aboard Kabali and Mac as well. So let's You said something I thought was really interesting this morning. I swear to God, you did. You used the phrase pecking order. I listened to just a couple minutes of you with Crowley and Doran on the Fan Morning Show, and you used the term pecking order to describe what you think it might be for the Steelers at the quarterback position. So let's start there. The pecking order as you think it is right now.
Ooh. What I think or what they think?
Well, no, what you think they're thinking there. How about that?
Man, I don't think they know right now. I think that they just throwing – I said this a couple days ago. I said I think they're in the mode of whoever says yes first is going to be their quarterback. What their pecking order should be is do everything you can do right now to get Justin Fields under contract.
Yes.
I mean, even if it is overpaying slightly – but you have to, you cannot allow him, in my opinion, to get to free agency whatsoever. But on his side of it, why wouldn't he go to free agency? Because you got one chance here. I mean, you look what's out there. You saw the Daniel Jones, the Aaron Rodgers, the potentially Kirk Cousins, and so on and so forth. If it's Mason Rudolph, if it's Russell Wilson, those aren't really guys that are going to move the needle for you past maybe one season. And if you have an opportunity, even if it might be a long shot, you have to go after the young guy that you think might be good. He has the pedigree to be good. He just hasn't done it yet. And take your chances then. If not, you're going to be chasing and chasing you this quarterback position forever. I mean, look at the Eagles. They got one in the second round. Yeah.
Yeah, four picks after Chase Claypool.
Do you believe that – I mean, I think if you just throw Jalen Hurts here, I don't think that he's
probably doesn't work out as well, no.
So what I'm saying is I think they need to go Justin Fields now inside that building.
So that's –
that might not be it.
That's the caveat here, inside that building, because it seems like there is at least a few people, important people probably, inside that building that don't feel the same way. That seem to be leaning toward the comfort, maybe. We do not seek comfort. The comfort level they have with Russell Wilson and going back in that direction because it keeps coming out over and over and over again. You reported it first. Dulac reported it. Adam Schefter mentioned it over the weekend as well. I think they get the sense that it's going to be much easier to keep Russ around than it is to let Fields go to free agency or overpay Fields, if that's what they were to decide to do, to not let him hit free agency. I think they see the writing on the wall that Justin Fields is going to hit free agency on March 12th, going to get multiple offers, probably more than they're comfortable paying, and is going to go off somewhere else, and they're going to be left with Russ, so that they're already painting this picture, whether it's true or not, I don't know, that Russ is the guy they want to go with.
Well, they have to. I mean, they have to appease Russ to some degree, right? You just can't say, oh, Justin turned us down. Hey, Russ, remember when we told you we didn't want you? I didn't mean that. I mean, you can't go about your business that way. I mean, you just can't. So you have to keep him in the fold some way. I mean, or you could look at it this way, Mac. Maybe if they bring Russell Wilson back and they want Russell Wilson back, that the mindset is they are this close.
They can't.
They need a piece here, a piece there, or a piece there. If you had, say, if Justin doesn't goes, I don't even know. I'm just trying to think. I mean, New Orleans would probably be quite attractive to Justin Fields because you got an offensive coordinator like Kellen Moore, right?
Right.
Let me even say maybe the Raiders, someplace where it doesn't look like it's going to work. Any of the New York teams, right? It's going to take a while. And you realize that. That's going to take a while for him, or it might not happen, and they don't offer him that much money. And you realize that Russell came back here for, you know, very similar money. It tells you that they think they're that close. And I think the owner does think to some degree that they're not that far off.
Which, there's no way.
I can make the argument though, right?
There's no way you can watch last night's game.
No, well, that's different.
But that's different. No, it's not. That's what you're saying.
It's 100% different.
Is there are people in the building, including Art, who look at a game like last night and say, "Ah, we're not that far off." There's nobody who watches that game last night and says the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're not that far off. They're like 60-1 to win next year's Super Bowl. Next year's odds are listed already. They're anywhere between like 18th and 25th. Nobody in the world who watches any kind of football thinks that the Steelers, just a couple pieces off.
Yeah, say for just for argument's sake, they had T. Higgins. They had DJ Reed or whatever. All of a sudden, those odds change, right? So
they change, but you're talking about adding probably the best wide receiver and the best corner available in free agency. And also adding those pieces on top of what you just mentioned about bringing Russ back. We're close.
What we can't really convince ourselves of, and we're going to compare it to, is how far X organizations away from what the Philadelphia Eagles did last night. You know who else isn't close to where the Philadelphia Eagles are? About 26 other teams.
Lots of teams, yeah. I'd say there's probably half a dozen teams in the league.
So if that's the gold standard, I think that you can't be saying we're that far off from being the Eagles. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you that far off from the Bengals, the Ravens, to the Bills to some degree because the Bills defense stinks? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that's where we add the certain pieces, have a great offseason, and all of a sudden right there, you have to think of the owner's mentality. The owner's mentality is we always want to compete.
Oh, I have no problem with wanting to compete. Like, that's by all means. Let's put together the best possible team every single year. What I don't understand, because this started with our conversation about the quarterback pecking order, right? And what we think the thoughts are inside the organization, at the top of the organization, about that pecking order of who they'd prefer to have, as opposed to what I think most of the rest of us who live in reality are looking at the quarterback pecking order as. And I think most of the rest of us that live in reality go, listen, man, you guys got steamrolled on the ground in the last 5 weeks of the season. You couldn't score any points, so obviously your D-line needs work. You need more weapons on offense. You need to have a quarterback that can help put it all together. Maybe it's not Justin Fields, but we know it's not Russ. And so Fields becomes top in the pecking order there. And I think that's the way most of us who live in reality look at the situation, whereas everything that you've reported and that people have mentioned, Dulac, Schefter, all the rest over the last month, leads us down the path of, like you just said, we're only a couple pieces away, guys. Let's bring back Russ and run it back again and see what happens. That is delusional, in my opinion.
Oh, it's delusional. It might be a long shot, but they still did. I mean, honestly, they still won 10 ball games. And at one point,
I didn't say they were bad. They're nowhere close to being on that level.
I agree with you. The Eagles level, right? They're nowhere close.
Eagles, Chiefs, Lions. I'd even pile in the Bills and Ravens into that discussion too.
Bills, I'd like to see the Bills. Bills defense is god awful, so I'm not quite
sure. But those handful of teams, if you put them on a neutral field against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think any single one of those five teams, you would see a stark night and day contrast between the Steelers and what any of those top teams are.
Well, we saw what two of them did to them, or three if you count the Ravens.
Exactly.
But should that hinder you from saying that it's impossible? No.
No, it's not impossible, but I think you need to understand that your blueprint needs to be adjusted then. And that's what I'm getting at here, is that they don't seem to understand how much work they need to do to get to that point.
I'm all in for Justin Fields. Now, if Justin Fields has all the power right now, I do believe if he wants a multi-year deal, maybe he says, I want 3 for $50 and I'm not budging off anything and I want this guaranteed money, or the Steelers are going to say, okay, we'll – we'll concede to that. We'll give you that. Or they're like, nah, we'll go over here. That's where you have to make a play for this. I mean, Justin holds all the cards right now, even though he really didn't do, well, hasn't done a ton, right?
He
should know that he has him over a barrel. And I don't think the Steelers want to portray that publicly of Justin having all the hand. And he does, I think.
Oh, no, I totally agree that he should. And he did start the season 4-2. As much as he made mistakes here and there, and as much as the defense carried a large portion of that, as much as they leaned in on the running game and were successful doing so in the first third of the season, they did go 4-2 with Fields at quarterback. So, I mean, I can't argue the fact that he holds, you know, like when you look at spot rack, the one that we can never figure out how to say it, which you were going to do some homework on that and find out the proper pronunciation and you forgot. Like they say Fields' market value is $6.5 million a year. He's going to get more than that. He's going to get more than that on the open market. Like
it's
you said,
it's
Vegas, New Orleans. Yeah. Exactly. He's going to get what? Probably $15 million a year.
Yeah. I'd say at the minimum.
Okay.
I mean, we are looking at a guy that's 20, what, six? Is he just turned 26?
So if you're Justin Fields then, or Justin Fields' agent, he actually turns 26 in like 2 weeks. I just looked it up. March 5th is his birthday. You can wish him a happy birthday. But like, if you're Justin Fields, that means if you believe that you can go out and get at least 10 to 12, if not 15 mil a year on at least a 3-year deal, right? I would think.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be overpaid above and beyond that, which I don't think the Steelers are willing to do at this point because they clearly don't look at Fields as having proven to them what needs to be proven to get that kind of deal. If they're going to pay somebody at quarterback, I don't agree with this, but this seems to be their line of thinking. We'll go with the known product, which is Russ, and okay, it's $20 million a year rather than $15 million a year. And that, again, tells you, like you said, that they believe they're just a couple pieces away.
I think they do. I mean, look what – I think it was Schefter who said it. How did he word that? They had talks or had conversations with Russell. They're going to talk to Fields. Why isn't it the other way around?
I don't know.
Don't you go, Justin, we want to talk to you first, man. Then we'll go talk to Russ. I mean, unless that's just – I'm reading too much into – you know, I'm just breaking down every single syllable the man said. Which could be the fake case too. Maybe they have had preliminary. But if Schefter comes out and says there's X amount of teams already interested, you know what that tells me? He's talked to the agent, right?
Right.
The agent's telling him this stuff, and he's, you know, greasing his wheels a little bit to give him information about it. That's what that's about.
Well, and look, there are going to be multiple teams, I would think, interested in Fields. Like, I don't think that's a reach, even if the agent is saying that to try and pump his client's tires, right? Like, that's, like you mentioned, the Saints, the Raiders. No idea what the situation may or may not be in Minnesota. Like, are they going to pivot to J.J. McCarthy? Are they going to try to keep Darnold around? Like, there's multiple places around the league that are in the market for quarterbacks going forward. So, absolutely, there will be a market for Fields. What just shocks me is that the pecking order really seems to be Russ 1, Fields 2. And that seems to be the opinion at the top of the organization.
I think it might be more 1A, 1B.
So it's basically what it's been all throughout the season. 1A, 1B, and for whatever reason, they feel safer with Russ.
I think they all just want to keep their old stick in the fire, have it burning a little bit just in case, because the last thing you want is saying we don't want Russell and Justin goes signs with the Raiders and all of a sudden number 12 from the Jets comes here or
that's what I was gonna bring up. Right? Oh god,
you'd be begging for Russell to come back then.
So the news came down Saturday, I think it was. That Aaron Rodgers is, or was it yesterday morning?
Maybe yesterday.
Yeah. Either way, the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So in this mythical pecking order, theoretical pecking order that we have put together, where Russ is 1A for the Steelers and Fields is 1B, where would Rodgers fit on that continuum? with the other names like Darnold and Cousins that are out there and available this offseason. Like, I have said it for a since he signed in New York before the Achilles injury. I think Rodgers is cooked. I think he's done. I think he's washed. I think he's exactly what we saw from him that final year in Green Bay, which is not very good. He still has a little bit of magic in there every once in a while that he pulls out of his rear end. Even saw a couple times this year he did that. But, like, he is not MVP-level Aaron Rodgers. That's obvious for anyone to see. So I would not necessarily be a fan of Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh unless literally every other quarterback on the market just up and signed somewhere and he was the only thing left.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's in that list of, break out a term from basketball, others receiving votes.
Yeah.
Just totally dismissed it, the fact that if things work out or not work out, that he would not be getting a call here, depending on what happens ahead of him. But, I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers if everything else fails? Or would you like to have Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Jacoby
Brissett? That's what I mean. Like, he's only better than those guys as an option, in my opinion, because those guys have all already proven that they're terrible. Like, at least with Rodgers, there's still every 3 to 4 weeks, he pulls a little bit of magic out and shows to you that it's still in there somewhere. Hi, kind of like late career Ben, right? Like, there were some weeks Ben looked like trash, and there were some weeks where Ben would pull the magic out, and you'd be like, holy hell, this guy can still do this somehow. Rodgers is at that point in his career, and I'm not signing up for that if you're telling me the first option on the table should be overpaying Justin Fields a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not saying that Rodgers has a good chance of coming here, but I just wouldn't totally write it off. Like I said, do you want Skylar Thompson to be your quarterback and Kyle Allen? I mean, if it gets to that point, then you're in big, big, big trouble. But hey, for my point of view, having Aaron Rodgers come to Pittsburgh would be quite interesting.
Oh, for our job, it would be.
Oh, I love it.
It'd be fantastic. It's what's best for business.
Bring him on. I mean, I think they have to figure out this quarter. I mean, the whole thought of them not even approaching Justin yet, if it's true, the whole thought of they haven't even looked at free agency quarterbacks is just, I don't think that can be possible. They have to have conversations of what they want to do here and how much they want to spend. They have to have see, the problem with the Steelers, right? Normally they have a market value, right?
Yeah,
they put their little numbers in, and boom, it pops up what they're going to spend the guy. And they usually don't budge off that very much. If that's the case, then Justin Fields probably wouldn't be back here. Because their numbers, however they compute them, is probably not going to be what he's going to get or what he's looking for or what somebody else might offer.
Yeah, it's like I said. I mean, if somebody's willing to go to like $15 million a year for Fields for 3 years, which – like teams are desperate for quarterbacks these days.
That's a little bit more than backup money, I think. Backup's like 12.
Well, 10. I mean, depending, a good backup, right? Yeah. Okay. Somewhere in the 10-ish range, probably, for a good backup. And what did he make this year? Four? I want to say four or five million Fields.
Yeah, he was paid. It was like 3.7 or something like that, 3.8, something like that.
So. But
year of his rookie deal and all that garbage.
I can't see them going out of their way to lock him up if they haven't even talked to him yet, which again is, we don't know if that's the case or not, but sounds like they haven't made it a priority.
I don't know why people are shocked that Russell's still a part of the conversation. I mean, why would you be shocked? It's not shocking.
It's not, because like you said, you got to keep all your irons in the fire for the time being. I get it. It's just crazy to me that legitimate people at the top of the organization are prioritizing Russ over Fields right now. That's wild to me, because again, it loops back on what you said at the beginning. That tells you that they think they're closer than they realistically are.
Take Daniel Jones.
No, thanks. As a backup, I mean, like, if you told me that you were going to keep Fields and you needed a number two, okay, Daniel Jones is a number two in case Fields goes down. I'm not excited about it, but you got to fill out a quarterback room, and at least it's a guy with some starting experience. So I wouldn't be excited about it, but it'd be a damn sight better than like Trey Lance or Zach Wilson, maybe.
Max Jones.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are also interchangeable at this point that I just don't see much upside in any of them. If one of those guys has to start more than a game or two for you at some point in the season, you're screwed anyway. Like, just fact.
Mason Rudolph is
he's available. His
market value is about close to $4 million.
Yeah,
I don't think
Mason would be too keen on coming back.
I don't think. I mean, well, depends on what offers you have. But what's Daniel Jones? Is he done this year?
Is he a free agent? I believe so.
Yeah, 20. Nah, I think next year, right?
Next year. Okay. Well, hey, scratch Daniel Jones off the list then. I guess no.
I mean, where's he at? Where's he at now? Minnesota?
Minnesota, yeah.
So I think he's a free agent, yeah. He's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. Because this would be his fifth year, yeah?
Yeah, and it's the guy that's already made what? $100 million?
Yeah, he's.
So he's the guy that's just looking for some place to play, right?
He should have a statue of the Giants front office built in whatever giant massive wraparound driveway he owns.
The Eagles should have a statue of Daniel Jones. Right?
Them too. Okay, so the quarterback situation, like I said, I don't think it's necessarily any more clear than it was 3-4 weeks ago. It feels like people are just now, though, coming around to understanding and realizing what you've basically been saying for a couple of weeks, which is they're gonna look at Russ first and probably not prioritize Fields if it's going to cost them a whole lot extra before the market opens.
On the flip side, maybe Fields loves it here and willing to say, if you give me the fair market value, I'll sign right now. I don't know. I mean, the guy's very quiet and, you know, reserved, so he's not going to really come out and say that. I know he said he wanted to come back, but that means nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it means zero. But maybe he does view this as his best opportunity. I don't know.
But this team is, to go back to what I mentioned earlier, like, this team is nowhere near being close. Like, they're multiple major moves away, starting with a quarterback, going to replenishing the defensive line as Cam Hayward plays his last season or two, doing something at corner, right? Aside from just Joey Porter Jr. Like, that, I don't think the Eagles blitzed once last night, Mark. No,
That's the Steelers' philosophy, too. I mean, we just look at the Eagles' front four. With the Steelers, you basically have to look at their front 4 to 5. You got to throw Highsmith and Watt into that mix, too.
Okay. Because
they pretty much rush the passer, 80 to 90% of the time, maybe Watt a little bit more than that. So they're part of this, hey, this defensive line, too. They're just in a different situation, I guess. So, I mean, if you got Watt, Highsmith, Hayward, like he played this year, Benton, who's should take another step,
should
not a bad start, right?
It's not a bad start, but I do understand where you need someone else who can play in. Like, if they look at, for example, Keanu Benton as being the long-term replacement for Cam, like, that's not realistic. Like, he seems like a good player, but he's not a long-term replacement for Cam. Like, they simply, I don't know, maybe it was the decision to keep Ogunjobi. Maybe it was, you could go back a few years and say that the Stephon Tuitt retirement was what sort of sent the D-line into a tailspin. I don't know what it was. And I wouldn't fully call it a tailspin, because there are some games where, because of Watt, because of Highsmith, they still dominate games, or, you know, at the very least, create enough havoc that they can win a game. But there is no substitute for being able to create pressure with four without having to blitz the way the Eagles did most of this season and again last night.
Exactly what the Steelers want to do. They just haven't been accomplished as well as the Eagles were able to do. It doesn't hurt that the Eagles have pretty good back half of guys and two young guys and Mitchell and DeGene and Slay and the one that always punches people, Gardner Johnson, is that his name?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad – it's not bad that you're able to get a Zach Bond and turn him into a defensive player of the year candidate. I mean, maybe just Howie Roseman's good at his job.
Yeah, that probably is a large part of it.
Howie. How that dynamic works, though. You think Howie goes, hey, man, I want Zach Bond. Get you, Mike, or Sirianni. Is that Mike Sirianni?
Nick.
Well, who's Mike? His brother from W&J, right?
Yes.
Nick. Well, forget you, Nick. I'm just bringing him on. I wonder how that works.
I mean, Sirianni, at least before last night, probably didn't have the sway or the cachet or the pull to be able to dictate to Howie which players he wanted specifically. Howie probably says, well, yeah, we need this kind of guy, right? Okay, I'll go get you that kind of guy. Here's Zach Bond, right? And then Zach Bond ends up being what he is. So I get the feeling there's a very different dynamic in Philly, at least up until, like I said, last night, than there is here in Pittsburgh, where Mike T is much more involved in that part of it.
How would you like to be the Saints right now, dumping Trey Hendrickson and Zach Bond within a span of a couple of years?
they're a disaster.
That's when you spend over the cap there. They pushed it down the road, but wasn't be able to manage as well as the Steelers were able to do it, though. Steelers, what, top 10 in cap money this offseason?
Are they that high? Top 10?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. If, you know, they signed Leonard Pope, you'd be happy. That 1 year, it's the only guy they signed was Leonard Pope.
Leonard Pope.
Because they had no cash.
Yeah. But we did, is that the biggest lesson, I guess, from last night is that defense can still win championships, right? You better have a really freaking good quarterback and a couple of great weapons for him to use, but you can still win you have to have a defense that can neutralize the opposing quarterback. And Philly, absolutely. I mean, they made Patrick Mahomes melt into a little puddle.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, you have to have a good defense, but if the Eagles' offense would have put up a couple field goals and keeping the Chiefs hanging around, it's a different ball game. So you better have some offense to be able to do what they did last night, was just absolutely go and just put the game away in the first half.
And they did it without Saquon Barkley really having much of a game at all. That's
2.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's the part that shocked me. Like, if you would have told me, okay, there's a parallel universe where the Eagles blow out the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and it's basically over at halftime, I'd have figured Saquon had 100 yards on the ground at the half and multiple scores and another one of those 70-yard runs that he racked up in the last third of the season and into the playoffs. Instead, no. It was the Chiefs making mistakes. It was Hopkins dropping the ball on third down. It was the offensive line, like, just giving Patrick Mahomes zero time. Mahomes getting the happiest feet I've ever seen. Mahomes is good at moving around in the pocket and making things happen. He didn't look comfortable. There wasn't a single drop back where he looked comfortable last night.
I mean, they don't have much of a running game. And if you're able to limit Kelsey, do you fear any of their receivers, the Juju's, the Hollywood's, Hopkins? No.
No.
See, I if I'm in Kansas City right now, I'm a little bit worried. I am a little bit worried that I see more than a crack in the old armor here. Okay, Patrick Mahomes still that, so they'll still win 10, 12 games. But is their Super Bowl run now done?
I thought there's an interesting parallel, because people like to compare Mahomes to Brady all the time, which I think is stupid, but whatever. That Brady went a decade between winning Super Bowls at one point. He lost two to the Giants. He lost one to Philly. What's that?
They seemed to go to one every year, though. They just weren't winning.
They were always going, or at least it felt that way, right? But he went a decade between Super Bowl victories at one point, which, you know, in retrospect now doesn't seem to add up, but it does when you go back and look at it. And maybe the Chiefs are just in that weird sort of murky middle of Mahomes' career at this point. I can't imagine Kelce has got more than another year or two left in him, if that. And like you said, what else do they have around Mahomes right now?
Did he dye his hair for that game?
I don't know.
A little burnt almond tort colors. I think he got a little touch up there, a little just for men there, just for the game.
Really?
I mean, I didn't come do side-by-side comparisons, but it looked a little darker.
Was that your biggest non-football takeaway from the game last night? Kelce may have colored his hair.
When the game's over at 8 o'clock, you look for other things, right?
That's true. It was
about the score bug and Kendrick Lamar. I mean, okay, that's what we're doing here.
The score bug is bad. Like, that looks like something I made in like
Tecmo Bowl
sixth grade. They just called it computer class back then, when like you would mess around on Microsoft Paint. I don't know. It was just weird. It looked all, I don't know. It was just, it didn't line up. The play clock wasn't above the game clock. So I had to keep looking to the side to see how many, it wasn't like so bad that I couldn't pay attention to the game, but I don't know why they screwed with
fine. If they start the season that way, you just don't add that for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, we're used to it leading up all the way up there. We complain about it week one and that's it. To me, I was like, okay. I mean, people were really upset about the score bug. I remember watching games when there was no score bug. You know, watching some of these old-time games.
Oh, man.
You watch these old-time games, you're like, I wonder what the score is. I wonder how much time's left.
Yeah.
You'd have to peek at the bottom
of the screen to see if you could see the first down marker, like the scrimmage marker that would tell you what down it was.
Yeah, the old ticker, too. You know, let's go an update. Yes, let's see who's winning. I always tell this story. Back in early fantasy football days when there was no internet until Al Gore invented it, you would do fantasy football. You wouldn't know if you had a Monday night game. You wouldn't know if you won until Wednesday's paper because the box score wouldn't come out and you had no access to it.
Yeah.
Where's Wednesday's paper? Or you get the Pittsburgh Press because they were a late.
Oh, yeah, the evening paper.
Yeah, too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's world time scoring. You know what bothered me last night, though, is I think the delay was a little bit too severe. It's like, oh, touchdown, whoever scored the first touchdown, the callback.
Oh, like, A.J. Brown. Yeah.
No, it was A.J. Brown, whoever it was. I was like, man. I'm three plays behind here.
What, the audio was delayed?
No. On the internet, people were like, touchdown, what a catch.
You cannot. Social media. You can't keep like X open and keep refreshing it while you're watching the game because you will. You'll get everything spoiled. Like during the regular season, I see tweets from people about touchdowns before the touchdown actually happens. And it pisses me off to no end. So I'll just leave it there, and I don't really pay attention unless something happens and I'm trying to find out, like somebody got hurt. Okay, what's the update? Or, oh, what's this? Or I'll post something myself, and I happen to scroll real quick for an update. Can't happen like in the middle of the drive or something, because inevitably real life is and social media are two plays ahead.
Sometimes I look at – well, we have different sites where you go on to the, you know, live scoring.
Right.
See who the final play is, and I'll be like, oh, my, he scored a touchdown. And I'll say to the kid, I bet you he scores the touchdown here. I'm like, yeah,
watch. It's going to happen right now. So, yeah, the score bug I didn't like. The halftime show didn't bother me as much as it's bothering a lot of people. I think
not a lot of people understand. I don't know anything about the Venus William Drake thing. I have no idea what that means. What did I say? Serena? Vina?
You said Serena. Venus. It was Serena.
Maybe you can explain that to me. I was her boyfriend. I have no idea.
No, apparently she got dragged into the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef at one point. And she's also from Compton. Like, she's from the same town as Kendrick Lamar. So, I don't know. I guess he wanted to feature her somehow. I will agree, like, Kendrick Lamar is never going to have like fireworks going off in the middle of his show. Like he's not a, this isn't Michael Jackson in 1995, just standing there in the middle of the stage for 45 seconds while fireworks go off. Like he is not that. So like if you came to the halftime show looking for a show, like big explosions and like, what was it? Lady Gaga jumped from the roof the one year. And, yeah. So, like, if you came to it expecting that, you didn't get what you wanted.
But then I would argue that it was a guy that shouldn't have done the halftime show. He could have the greatest performance in the world.
And it wasn't going to work for some people.
It wasn't going to work for that setting because, like you said, you needed a show, you know, multiple cameos, right?
What did we talk about last night when we were texting about it? I think halftime shows peaked at Snoop, Dre, Eminem, 50 Cent, and Kendrick Lamar was actually a part of that performance too. But like, I think that's where they peaked, and like, I don't know. I can't imagine a halftime show that's ever going to really totally crush my expectations ever again.
Well, I know I went, what was that? Black Eyed Peas when they played in Dallas for the Steelers was just not good. Rolling Stones, I think, was in Detroit. That was
Detroit, yeah.
Whatever. I don't even
remember. Were old then, and that was 20 years ago.
I don't know who was in Tampa. What was that guy at the weekend? Wasn't he like caught in the maze? I don't know what was going on there.
That was the COVID one. Yeah. Where like they couldn't do it on a stage in the middle of the field. So they had him.
I'd like to see a nice heavy metal band. Give me some Metallica. Yeah.
What
should have been in Santa Clara. That's where they should have been.
What? Maybe next year.
Is that where it's at?
Next year's in Santa Clara. That's Bay Area. You know what? They still have it in them.
I saw them a couple years ago. They're great. I mean, they would bring other people in. I mean, you could do crossover stuff with even rappers or R&B guys, whatever. I think it would be great.
That's not a bad call, Kabali.
Doesn't Jay-Z run this halftime show now?
Yeah, Rock Nation and Apple Music have a lot to do with it. But, well, Apple Music, I don't know if they – do it on behalf of Jay-Z and Rock Nation or how exactly that arrangement works. But yeah, he has a big hand in it. But like, that would be, and look, I understand that they want to bring in younger audiences. Like my kids know Kendrick Lamar's music better than I do.
Mine too.
So they really liked it. Like my kid had a whole set list worked up and he was checking off songs as he went through them. So really? I fully understand that, like, I'm 45 at this point, and the halftime show isn't always going to be for me. But I can also, you know, give us one out of every, like, five. I don't think that's asking too much.
By the way, these comments, Justin E. is definitely tuned into the Drake.
Oh, yeah. So Serena supposedly dated Drake, according to Justin, and then they broke up, and Drake put lines in a song about Serena's husband. And I guess that says that, look, I will say this. There is of all the rap beefs over the years, like, again, we're old. We go back to like Biggie and Tupac, right?
Yeah. Snoop, Dre.
Right.
Did Snoop ever win a Grammy? That's he never has.
Really?
Or if it is, it's not very many. It's ridiculous.
I believe that the Grammys are weird.
Oh, well, somebody's trolling us on this YouTube. Don't tell me Neil O'Donnell's replying to Mark Malone in our YouTube feed.
You have no idea how big we've gotten. You really don't. I mean, they're going back and forth in the comments on YouTube right now. Neil O'Donnell and Mark Malone about
Jim Miller quarterback playing. You know, Jim Miller comes in, or Mike Tomasak. We're in trouble.
Tomasak? So did you have a favorite commercial, Kaboom? Was there one that, like, there was the one with the Macho Man impersonator?
McAfee commercial.
The McAfee flag football one. That was long. And Pat was
only in it for seconds at the beginning. Or seven seconds. The one that stood out, I guess, was the Lilo and Stitch movie because I thought it was real for a second. When Stitch was running around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody here thought that too. And it was like, no. That's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and they are not actually calling the game. This is not real. This is a commercial.
I mean, other than that, I don't remember. Like I said, I pretty much tuned out in the second half because it was just awful.
It was basically over. Justin, again, making a good point on YouTube. He's as old as us, but back in the day, rap beefs would end in legitimate violence. Now they just end in Super Bowl halftime shows. Good point.
Justin is on top of stuff.
He is. We learned some lessons that the Steelers aren't anywhere close to the Eagles or even the Chiefs. And they got a lot of work to do.
I forgot the big one.
What?
The Deebo Samuel potentially trade. So, here we go. Goal line, baby.
Come on. How old is Deebo now?
I had to qualify myself yesterday when Zay said, "Why would you want him?" I'm like, "Well, I was joking at the goal line type of thing." If there's one out there right now, I would look into Deebo. First of all, you're not going to have to pay $17 million for it. There ain't no way a guy on an expiring contract is going to be traded and for the full amount. The Niners are going to have to eat some of that or release him. And Omar's been pretty good over the history of making other teams eat some money. And he's a guy that I think fits nicely with being able to block in the slot, being versatile, be a better version of Cordell Patterson, maybe. Pair him with George Pickens. If there's one out there right now, I would put him at the top of my list.
Of course, not
T. Higgins, but that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I think the problem is with Deebo, he's 29, and his injury history is more like that of a 36-year-old. Like, he misses multiple games every year.
Don't sign him. Just 1 year, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I guess. Although, that also is another stopgap kind of measure that's made by a team that believes they're close, right? I'm not saying I wouldn't want Deebo Samuel if he were maybe, 3 years younger and I knew could be a part of the solution long term. I like Deebo as a player because he can be explosive at times. But
George, Deebo, Roman Wilson, Calvin Austin, Freiermuth. All of a sudden, my receiver room-ish.
They need to focus on getting better over the next 2 to 3 years and not try to duct tape this thing together with some sort of cockamamie belief that they're going to actually compete for a Super Bowl title.
There's no guarantee if they just.
I'm not talking guarantees.
There's no guarantee that they're going to come and just rebound because they have one crap year.
I didn't say have a crap year. That's not what I said. Kaboom. Not what I said.
That's what I read on Twitter.
When did I say that on Twitter?
Oh, well, Steelers Depot was aggregating you. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not saying the tank. That's not what I'm talking about, because I think we agree that, like you said, there's no guarantees. You end up with the top pick in the draft. There's no guarantees that the guy you take with the first pick in the draft is going to materialize into some sort of franchise player. What they need to do is replenish these positions where they've become so thin over the next couple of years with guys that will last a while, or at the very least get you through 3 or 4 years. Because they keep trying these stopgap measures all over the place. It's not going to work. And I'm not saying you don't go out and sign free agents either. We've talked about the free agents that are out there and available. DJ Reed is only 28. You can sign him for 3 years. And yeah, he's small, but he's tough as nails. And you could play him in the slot. You could use him in different spots in the secondary. You could go out and sign Chris Godwin, who's also 29. I'm not saying don't bring in older players. I'm saying you got to be careful with how you piece them in. And Deebo is not dependable enough for me to want to piece him in.
I'd say you have George, Deebo, Austin, Roman, maybe draft Ibuka or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Russell Wilson gets a little better, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I do get a feeling now that, especially after last night, they're going to be, I mean, we saw the Mike Tomlin, the photos and videos of Mike Tomlin getting his nose into the D-line drills down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. He's going to be even more in on D-line than ever.
D-line's pretty deep.
It is. I wouldn't
quite use it on that and running. They should be lucky. A couple positions they need are deep in the draft with running backs and defensive linemen. You're not going to find a quarterback. They're not going to take the cornerback. The great cornerbacks will be taken well before that. So it leaves you only a handful of positions to look at, in my opinion. Obviously, it's wide receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver. If there's a D-line there, though, I could be argued into it in the first round.
It's all how it plays out.
You excited to go out to the combine here in a couple weeks? Kaboom. Yes, you are, you liar. You can't wait. You can't wait. Thanks as well to the guys at Impact HVAC. Maybe over these last few weeks of the winter, your furnace goes kaput. You need to get it taken a look at. I can't speak English this morning. Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook. Go look them up. Tony and the guys will come on out. They'll get you right. And then in a couple weeks or months, when it starts to warm up and you need the AC looked at, they'll come out and give that a tune-up as well. Thanks to them for signing on as sponsors here of Kabali and Mac, which we will stream a couple times every week, live on the X, always on the YouTube as well, at Kabali and Mac on YouTube. Thanks again to Jake and the guys at southwestgreenspa.com. Don't water your lawn. Don't worry about mowing it. Just get them to take care of it with a beautiful turf lawn. And to our title sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate them as well. So we're nowhere closer to figuring anything out, Mark. Are you okay with that?
We got months and months of the same talk. We got the next, what are we looking at? I don't even know what today is. February 10th?
Yep.
We're looking about 4 weeks, 5 weeks until free agency?
Yep, 4 weeks till free agency.
We get to go to the combine, and I get to say, hey, have you met with the Steelers? Yeah, I have. Yeah, they meet with 60 guys, pretty much everybody.
What about Raw tonight? What about Raw?
How about that?
So is Jey Uso going to decide to challenge Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania? Yeet.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be Gunther. And I mean, if you're going to go to this degree of having Jay win the Rumble, he has to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. I just don't know where Cody. Cody's like has feuds with like 8 people, so it could be anybody.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's a strong enough enemy for Cody right now for WrestleMania.
I keep telling my kid because he's a big Cody guy, and he's backing off a little. Because I think he senses dropping the title at WrestleMania.
And
he He wants to be ahead of it.
Wow. I see. I think the heel turn at WrestleMania against Jay would be perfect.
I don't know. He makes so much money being the good guy, man, for that company.
I know.
Merch and just him going.
It's a good company, man.
He wrestles a couple times a week. Roman wrestles or Norman once a month.
That goddamn Norman Reigns. You know, for those that don't understand the reference, Kabali tweeted out a fantastic video last week of
old grandma
just swearing up a storm while she watched the Royal Rumble.
I found an older one. I ran across it. You know how those algorithms work.
Yeah.
And this was a couple of years ago, and she was yelling about Norman Reigns, too.
Norman Reigns. And what did she call Paul Heyman? Paul Heenan.
You know what? My grandmother was like that, but, I mean, she didn't use the
– she didn't drop the F-bomb as much as angry grandma.
Out of there, and I saw my grandma. I was my grandmother right there.
That's beautiful.
She was like 95, same thing.
Yelling at Norman Reigns.
Norman Reigns.
All right. We'll do this again later in the week, a couple times. We'll continue to look ahead to free agency and try to pick apart what the hell this team may or may not do at the quarterback position and everywhere else on the field. Because
when is that pitchers and catchers reporting? I want to rip on the Pirates.
I think it's today.
Is it really?
I think. Let me just double check.
I mean, Sam showing up?
Because I saw the Pirates tweet something out about baseball is back this morning.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, honestly.
Oh, no. Pitchers and catchers are Wednesday. So I'm guessing they have guys starting to report and show up at the facility.
He had a worse tweet after the
already.
Steelers are the Pirates. Pirates are like, yep, time for baseball season. And you're just opening yourself up for Chris. Steelers had something weird, too. Like, next season's here. I don't know what they wrote, but it's like, you just open yourself up for some comments, brother. Just wait until tomorrow to do this.
Just wait until. So there's your social media advice from Mr. 120,000 followers.
No, I can tell you the best
just
thing.
Just wait for tomorrow.
The best thing to do is, and I know people that also have done this, it's not so much now, but when your old job, you know, they would monitor what you write, your tweet. Mm-hmm. When you want to tell somebody off, it really makes it's really cathartic to tweet them, tell them off, but then don't hit send, just delete it. It makes you feel a little bit better.
It does. That's true. I think we've all received that advice at some point. Just save it to the draft.
I'm a big advice guy, though. Dry, wet, dry. And now this.
I'm good. That's a good point. You remind me. I got to tweet out the link to the T-shirts again. I'll do that today.
Dry, wet. First,
we've already sold a couple, by the way. You realize that, right?
The first one that you actually said, one, we should like make something. Whoever gets it first and wears it, we can bring them on. We should do that.
I think that's a great idea. Could we bring start, since you're into the advice thing now, is it copyright infringement if we start Ask Mark Anything? I think that's already taken by someone somewhere.
Yeah. We can probably, I don't know. It's... Yeah, probably wouldn't. Mark,
how about Dear Kaboom, and people can ask you advice. How about that?
What was that before? What was her name? The old lady that gave love advice back in
Dear,
the day.
Dear Abby.
Yeah,
Dear Kaboom.
Is Abby still around?
I have no idea. She's probably dead, right?
Well, you're the DJ. You
what the hell does that have to do with it? I'm supposed to keep track of when everybody is alive or dead.
Don't tell me you don't listen to Delilah every night, too.
Delilah. Hold on. Dear Abby. Da, da, da. Oh, her daughter does it now, but her name's not Abby.
Well, that sort of defeats the point.
Yeah. So hold on. Did she die, I guess? What? Dr. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and read an entire
You call yourself a DJ. You call yourself a DJ? Is that what you're considering now? Is that a DJ?
No, I'm a radio personality, Mark. Come on. Yeah, you like that? All right, I'm going to go. You go do the same. Enjoy another cheese sandwich, and we'll do this again later in the week. Maybe we'll do Dear Kaboom, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Thanks again, everybody, for joining us here on Kabali and Mac. Have a great one.